Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the book of 2 Corinthians and the fourth chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to focus our attention on the last verse of that chapter, verse 18, while we look not on the things that are seen, but on the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This is indeed the 11th of September. And as Penny and I were driving this morning, there were some people standing in the pouring rain, and it was pouring buckets. But there was about five or six people standing in the pouring rain on a bridge and overpass holding flags. And I admire their tenacity to be out there in recognition of the day in such a rainstorm. I wonder how many believers would stand in the rain street preaching like that. I frankly doubt that I would. I would find an umbrella. But as believers, we don't look at the things that are seen, but rather the things that are not seen. We see many things in this world, and we love this nation, but it's not our home. We desire the protection of our freedom, but we are free in Christ regardless of what our physical state may be. And so, to get to verse 18, I want to read the chapter in your hearing, because it's a chapter where Paul is talking about trouble. He's talking about hard times. He's talking about things that discourage. He's talking about all the things that we see that are not to be our focus, but rather our focus is to be on the unseen. And so I'm going to begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, if you have your place now. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But if we renounce the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, but not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our bodies. For we which live are always delivered unto death, for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal bodies. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according to as is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and present us with him. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might be through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. while we look not on the things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And you may have noticed as we read through that chapter, the multiple references to the seen and the unseen, the light and the dark. Seeing we have this ministry, that's a visible term. It's been given to us. We see the ministry that is about us. If our gospel be hid, verse 3, it is hid to those whose minds are blinded, verse 4. Verse 6, God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, and so on as you go through the chapter. And so indeed, we're to look at the things which are not seen rather than things which are seen. Let us bow and ask God's help as we consider his word this morning. Gracious Father, we thank you that the book before us is indeed the very inspired word of God. Father, we thank you for its presentation to us, that we have it in our hands. We thank you for its preservation for us, that you have kept your word according to your promise. We thank you that you have not left it to us simply as an academia, but rather you've given to us your Spirit, who is promised the Comforter to guide us into all truth and to remind us of the things of Christ. And so, Lord, as we approach your word this morning, may we not be such as handle it deceitfully, as we see in this chapter. But, O Father, may we rightly divide the word of truth, and may your Spirit bless and direct your word to our hearts. This morning, may we, your people, be encouraged. May we be sharpened. May we be made more like Christ. And, O Lord, help us not to look at the winds and the waves, but the Savior. And so we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. What do you see today that encourages you? Not much. Not much. If you look at your investment statement, it will not encourage you. If you look at the receipt at the grocery store, it will not encourage you. If you look at the price of gas, it will not encourage you. Everything we see discourages us. But my friend, everything we see and know by faith encourages us. The things that are not seen are the things which are the encouragement and the blessing of the believer. And here Paul says, we're persecuted, but we're not cast out. We have all of these problems from the outside, but we know him who is inside. And it was because of that understanding of the Godhead that Paul and Silas, with bleeding backs and feet in stocks, could sing hymns at midnight. And the prison was shaken. And so I'd like to consider this morning the things that are not seen. Have you ever focused on that phrase? Have you ever thought about it? It says we don't look at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. But have you ever enumerated the things that are not seen? And so that's what I would like us to do this morning. And the first and most obvious one is this. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him to deliver them. That comes from Psalm 34 and verse 7 and 8. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Those are upbeat verses, aren't they? Do you know the context? When were these words spoken by David? It's Psalm 34. Well, the preface to Psalm 34 is this. Psalm 34, a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Do you understand when David said, the angel of the Lord campeth about them that fear him to deliver them, O taste and see that the Lord is good? He wrote this in the day when he slobbered and acted like he was having an epileptic fit to escape the court of the Philistines. What could David see on that day? Philistines all around him. What did David know in that day? That the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them and delivereth them. You know, you hear that first part of the verse quoted a lot. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him. But the last part of the verse says, and delivereth them. Delivereth them from the things that make them fear. And did you ever meditate on that word encampeth? Folks, this isn't going to, you know, happy la-la camp and setting up a tent. When it says the angel of the Lord encampeth, that's a military term, folks. He's setting the picket line. He is establishing the perimeter. We have a Vietnam veteran with us this morning that understands the necessity of establishing the perimeter, of setting the guard around for protection. The angel of the Lord encampeth about them that fear him and delivereth them. He is their salvation. And so the first thing that we find in looking at the things which are not seen, but rather looking at things that are not seen because they're eternal, rather than looking at the things that are seen, we find that the angel of the Lord encampeth about them that fear him and delivereth them. But the second thing that is not seen that the believer looks upon is found in John 14. I'd like you to turn there with me. The 14th chapter of John. And we're going to look at verses 15 through 19 and then verses 25 through 27 of this chapter. The Holy Spirit of the living God, the great Comforter, though not seen with our eyes, that is what we see. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. And why can the world not receive him? Because it seeth him not. The world doesn't see him. The believer sees him. We look on the things that are not seen rather than the things that are seen. Ah, we don't see an image before us. We do not see the smoke or the fire over the tabernacle. But oh, hallelujah, we see him. We see him. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. What was Paul talking about there in 2 Corinthians 4? Dying. He talks about dying and yet living in Christ. The world does not see the Holy Spirit. He is unseen. We don't look on the world around us and the problems, but rather we see the unseen Spirit by faith and are blessed. And then come down to verse 25 there in John 14. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Folks, in the world will have tribulation, but I've overcome the world. He is our peace. If we look in the world, we don't find much peace. We find nation rising against nation. We find fighting and riots in the streets of our own nation. We find turmoil and struggle. But the child of God is not looking to those. The child of God has peace. And notice what it says there in verse 26. What is the ministry of this unseen yet seen Holy Spirit? He brings all things to our remembrance whatsoever I have spoken to you. The Holy Spirit comes to the troubled believer and proclaims the Word of God for our comfort and our strength. And so we find that the Holy Spirit of the living God, though unseen, is yet seen, and we look unto Him. But then not only do we have the unseen angel of the Lord and the unseen Holy Spirit of the Lord, but we have the ministering angels that minister to the people of God. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, and there we're going to look at verse 7 and verse 14. I know I'm giving you busy fingers this morning. I'll give you a moment to turn. Hebrews chapter 1, considering the things unseen. Chapter 1 and verse 7, and then we'll go to verse 14. In Hebrews 1, 7, and of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? The unseen angels, the ministering spirits. In 2 Kings chapter 6, the king of Syria has sent a great host to capture Elisha and to bring him back. Elisha sees the armies of God that surround him. Elisha's servant does not see them. Elisha's servant rises in the morning and he sees a surrounding host. But the surrounding host that his servant sees are the Assyrians, and he is very afraid. And in 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 15, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And the servant said unto him, alas, master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that are with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Open his eyes, may he see the unseen. Open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. God gives his ministering angels charge over his own beloved. I'd like to share with you, I'd like to share with you two missionary testimonies of the unseen protecting the children of God. The first comes from missionary John Payton. He was a missionary to the New Hebrides in the 1860s. This is a true account from his book. One night, hostile natives surrounded the mission station, intent on burning out the Paytons and killing them. John Payton and his wife prayed during that terror-filled night that God would deliver them. When daylight came, they were amazed to see their attackers leave. 1 year later, the chief of the tribe was converted to Jesus Christ. Remembering what had happened, Payton asked the chief what had kept him from burning down the house and killing them. The chief replied in surprise, who were all those men with you? Payton knew no men were present, but the chief said he was afraid to attack because he had seen hundreds of big men in shining garments with drawn swords circling the mission station. Folks, that's not a fairy tale. That is a true account from a man of God of what took place in the 1860s in the New Hebrides to protect a mission station. And then Russell and Gertrude Moore were missionaries in Tibet. This was in the 1920s. They were there from 1920 up through 1965. Their family finally left Tibet. Very faithful missionaries. Tibet was a closed country. It was illegal for Christian missionaries to be there in the first place. And this comes from Gertrude Moore's book. The title was "The Dogs May Bark, But the Caravan Moves On." That's an old proverb. But they were traveling into the interior to minister, and this is the account. On the second night, they camped near Dura Borlong and slept very soundly in their 3-in-1 tent. There was actually Russell and his wife Gertrude and their 2 young children at the time. They slept very soundly in their 3-in-1 tent. Their Tibetan companions, however, did not sleep so well and got up several times that night to check for signs of any prowling thieves. After she awoke, Gertrude asked one of the men, "Did you see any robbers?" The man replied, "Certainly there were robbers around, but they did not bother us." "How did this happen? Did some of our Tibetan friends stand guard?" she wondered. "No," the man replied, "but a very excellent watchman helped me through the night," he said. "Do you know who it was?" Gertrude asked. "No, I don't." In the morning, he was gone. On the return journey, a few local residents of that area quietly approached Moore's helpers and questioned them. "Who were all the guards round about your camp when you went through here before?" they asked. "We had no guards except ourselves," was the reply. "But we saw them. They were very big and tall, all dressed in white. The bandits had planned to attack and rob your party, but when they saw those big guards, they were frightened and they did not dare bother you." The Moors did not see anyone, but their enemies certainly saw. And folks, these are not isolated stories. There's another from Africa where a doctor was traveling through the jungle with medication and money to purchase more pharmaceuticals. And a group of robbers came, and weeks later, one of them said, "Who were those men with you?" "There were no men with me." "Oh, yes, they were armed guards all about your camp." You see, God sends forth his angels as ministering spirits to them who shall be the heirs of faith. And I've told some of you before that my own 2 boys were out about a mile or so from the mission station. And they were approached by someone who they did not know, who told them, "You go home now. There are men coming to get you." At that time, it was somewhat common for children of Americans to be kidnapped and held for ransom. And my sons came directly back to the mission station and told us what had happened. And for months, we tried to find this individual, and they never saw her, a lady, again. They had no idea who it was. And we have wondered if it was not an angel sent for their protection. Folks, we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. What a contradiction that sounds like, to look at the unseen. And yet, folks, we are the children of God. We are to occupy to his, till he comes. And that is the state of the believers in this world. And so we see the angel of the Lord that encamps round about us, not with our eyes, but with faith. We see the Holy Spirit that indwells us and teaches us truth, not with the eyes of flesh, but with the eyes of the Spirit. We see the ministering angels of God, not with the eyes of flesh, but knowing that God will protect and keep His people. But then fourthly, we see the unseen, for underneath are the everlasting arms. Have you ever seen them? Not with the eyes of the flesh, but oh, with the eyes of faith. In the times of great trial, we have known that we cannot stand on our own, and we do not stand on our own, but the very arms, the everlasting arms, support us. And that text is found in Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He shall thrust out the enemies from before thee, and they shall shall say, destroy them. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 33. That's the context. I want you to see what is taking place when this great promise is given. Deuteronomy 33, probably should have had you turn there before I read the first verse for you. But Deuteronomy 33, in verses 1 through 3, we find this. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. Okay, what's taking place? Moses has led them out of Egypt. Moses has led them for 40 years in the wilderness. But they're not going to see him anymore. Moses is dying. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of his saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive thy word. This was a message to the saints of God who were about ready to enter the promised land. They were about ready to face war. They were about ready to face giants. They were about ready to lose the leader they had seen. And Moses, on through the middle part of the chapter, from verse 4 through verse 25, recounts the blessings that Jacob promised to the children of Israel. But then we come to verse 26 and we pick up our reading again. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heavens in thy help and in the excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He shall thrust out the enemy before thee and shall say, destroy them. They're getting ready to go into the battle of their lives without their leader, without Moses, without the man that led them out of Egypt, without the man who gave them manna in the wilderness, without the man who brought water out of the rock, without the man who lifted up his rod and the seas parted. You see the problem? They're looking to a man. Did Moses bring them out of Egypt? No. Did Moses give them manna? No, Christ is very clear about that in the New Testament. Did Moses give them water out of the rock? No. They were looking to a man rather than to their God. And so Moses reminds them, underneath are the everlasting arms, and Jehovah, your God, He's the one who's going to drive out the enemies before you. He will say to the destroyer, destroy them. Destroy them. And so, verse 28, then Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon the land of corn and wine. Verse 29, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord. And my friend, these verses are talking about Israel of old, but they're also speaking of the people of God throughout all ages. We today, the chosen of God, and share in these same blessings. I mentioned last week a hymn by E.A. Hoffman, Are You Washed in the Blood? It was also Hoffman who wrote the hymn, What a Fellowship, What a Joy Divine, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. It was the same hymn writer that wrote both. But not only do we see the unseen angel of the Lord, and do we see the unseen Holy Spirit and the ministering angels and the everlasting arms, we are encompassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses. And that is why I had us read Hebrews chapter 11 for our responsive reading, for it recounts those heroes of faith. And you may have noticed in there in verse 3, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are unseen. And so, we're encompassed by a great cloud of witnesses. This is found in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, the next chapter after chapter 11. And let me tell you that I do not believe that the people in heaven are watching what we're doing. That's not the great cloud of witnesses, but rather chapter 11 is the testimony of all those that faced the great trials and endured victoriously. And you see, we come to the trial and we say, Lord, I can't do this. And God says, you're right, you can't do it. But your weakness is made perfect by my strength. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And so we're encompassed about by this cloud of witnesses who faced the sword, who faced trials, and God delivered them. And we are encompassed about by a great cloud of witnesses. We do not see them, but they have stood the test of time, and we bear the same faith that they bear. My grandparents aren't watching out for me. My mom is not watching out for me. My father is not aware of what I am doing. But the God that they served is ever with me. And the cloud of witnesses behind me give me the encouragement and the strength to know that God did not fail them in their trials. And God will not fail me either. I remember my mother once saying that she did not believe that the people in heaven are concerned with what happens on earth, because they are worshiping the great King of heaven that made heaven and earth. And these things are to them irrelevant. And frankly, she said, heaven wouldn't be heaven if they were concerned with all the problems here. And so, sorry to tell you, your grandmother's not watching you. But we have a great cloud of witnesses, a great testimony of those that face trials greater than our own. And God never failed them. But then, folks, one more thing that we have that we do not see, and yet we see it by faith. And this comes from the last verse of the 23rd Psalm. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's a beautiful painting behind me in the form of a tapestry. You all can see it, but you know what? I can't. I don't see it. I know it is there. You see, spiritually, when we are in the Christian race, there's no rearview mirror on our car. We don't see what is right behind us. But what we find in Psalm 23, verse 6, is goodness and mercy follows me. I don't see it all the time. When the trials are greatest, I don't see it at all. The only time I see it is when I go down the road and look backwards. Then I can see, yes, that goodness and mercy was always following me. You see, what I see ahead is the trouble. But I believe in the things I cannot see. The goodness and mercy of God are following me. The goodness and mercy of God are tailgating me. The goodness and mercy of God are pushing me. And so, folks, we see a lot of things today that will really discourage us and get us down. But as the children of God, we look not on the things that are seen, but on the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal. They are passing away. But the angel of the Lord endures forever. The Holy Spirit will never fail. The ministering angels will always be there. We have these things that are eternal. And that is the focus of our walk. Let us stand for prayer. Oh Lord, how we remember Peter, chosen man of God, faithful man of God, preacher of righteousness, who very strongly and with great determination stepped out of the boat and walked on the water until his eyes turned to the winds and waves that were boisterous. And so, Father, how often we start out well, but then rather than looking at the unseen, we begin to look at the seen and the result as we sink. Father, give us grace to stand. May our light shine in a dark day for the glory of Christ. Encourage us, strengthen our weakness, make your strength perfect in its application to the weakness of your people. In Jesus' name.